This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is John Batchelor, a conversation with Professor Gary Bass. His new book, Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. War crimes are much in the news these days, as they have been for many decades since the Second War. War crimes go in two directions, the perpetrator and the accuser, and then the accuser and the perpetrator. Here, Professor Bass speaks of predicate for the Hiroshima and Nagasaki use of the atomic weapon against civilian populations. There was the precedent of the firebombing of 66 Japanese cities, chiefly B-29s using highly explosive and very damaging napalm and other incendiaries against civilian populations. The question comes today that did not come, according to Professor Bass, in 1945, which is, what is a war crime? Is it winner's justice? The prosecution of Japanese war criminals proceeded apace, but these many decades later, reviewing the atomic weapon, it's also good to review the decision to firebomb civilian populations, largely defenseless. Here's Gary Bass on what the American public knew about and didn't react to in 1945. Still hasn't fully understood the decision to firebomb the cities. Professor Bass, much more of this next month.
There is a sense that, you know, something terrible is happening, but I think most people, I think it's very important that you're calling the attention of an American audience to this, that I do think, you know, Americans in the present day think about, was the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki correct? There was, with Christopher Nolan's excellent movie Oppenheimer, there was sort of more discussion about that. But I think a lot of people don't know about the firebombing, that there were 66 Japanese cities that were hit with incendiary raids, most dramatically, as you mentioned, the firebombing of Tokyo on the night of March 9th and 10th, 1945. And according to a U.S. strategic bombing survey, something like 210,000 Japanese died from the conventional air bombardment. The Japanese government actually puts the death toll slightly lower at 205,000 Japanese killed. And the Japanese government formally protests that by attacking major Japanese cities, Tokyo, Nagoya, Osaka, Kobe, that the Japanese government says you're just aiming at destroying civilians. So it's something that is a terrible memory in Japan and is well known. I think isn't as well known in the United States. And I write the book with the hope that readers will make up their own minds about the legacies of World War II. But this is definitely part of it. This is something that should be considered. LeMay's quote about, you know, if we'd lost the war, I would have been tried as a war criminal myself. There are some people who are having qualms. The war secretary, Henry Stimson, tells Truman privately in the Oval Office that he's worried that because of this strategic bombing campaign, that he said he's worried that the United States will get the reputation of outdoing Hitler in atrocities. He tells Truman that privately. But for most people in the U.S. military and in the Truman administration, the feeling is not one of, you know, that they think that terrible things are being done, but they also think some variety of the following opinions. One, Japan attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor. Two, the United States killed American and Filipino POWs on the Bataan Death March. Japan had been invading China since 1931. With, you know, that it was clearly an extremely expansionist empire. And finally, they're not surrendering. That since Midway, it's been pretty clear that the tide of battle has turned against Imperial Japan. And the and yet there's some movement towards, you know, there's a sort of quiet peace feeler from the emperor himself. But the Americans know that the army is has no interest in surrendering. The army wants to fight on. The army thinks that there will be a devastating last battle for the homeland, but that the Americans can't really handle that sort of ground invasion. So a lot of, you know, most people in the U.S. military are thinking, look, they're just not surrendering. We have to keep trying. This is their view. We have to keep trying tougher and tougher things, siege, bombardment, ultimately atomic bombs, to get them to yield.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.